Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Applied Statistics. This is not how I envisioned doing it last year, but since last year, things have changed tremendously. But it's a pleasure to bid you welcome. And even if it's a special year, everything will be fine. We've prepared a lot. And fortunately, I can say that the exercises are possible to do in person. I'll return more to that. But just a few things on Zoom. First of all, we record this and I put it on the course webpage, meaning that you will be able to re-see it from there. We're going to start with a bit of administration and boring stuff and the circumstances, but quickly move to statistics. And on Zoom, I would say that it's best if you simply write us in the chat. Zoom has two advantages compared to normal lectures, that we record it and you can write in the chat. And you can either write generally or you can write just privately to one of the TAs. I will not monitor the chat, at least not at all times, but the TAs might interrupt me, because if you ask the same question too often, well, too many of you, then surely it's me who did something wrong or didn't explain it well enough. And And we will take questions, and those I like people posing in person, you could say. All right. As I said, exercises will be possible to do in person, but this course will be possible to follow completely online, just to make sure that everybody understands that. So if you're somewhere else in the world and stuck there or have to stay there for other reasons, can't make it physically, that's perfectly all right. Now, let's go to all that information, which I just showed before. So here's the course information. And let's just start with all the technical stuff. I've written out several times that the course webpage is the one given below, and this is where everything will be done. There are things that Absalon is not very good at, and transparency is one of them, and publicity, you could say, the public being able to access is another. So for that reason, we run it on separate pages. Please bookmark it. And these are extraordinary times and those require extraordinary measures. So we will do things online for the lectures, but also for the exercises, we will keep this channel, this link open, and we will have people available that way and by Slack. And if you write us your favorite communication platform, we will do our best to uphold that, though I'm not sure how many channels we can uphold. This means that it requires a little more self-discipline and dedication to the course. We will do our best to inspire, help, and promote. But one of the important things to do is to ally yourself with fellow students in small groups. We will need that anyway for the project, but in general, finding out whom you work well with and work with them is in fact, and this has been measured, what you learn the most from. So by sitting discussing with peers, this is how you learn the most. And it might not even be right, but the discussion is typically what makes you think about a subject or a problem or whatever. And well, after asking yourself, each other, and Google, and you still don't have an answer, don't hesitate in contacting us. Times and dates and places. Well, the lectures will be by Zoom only, and we will record it and put it on the webpage. And as I said, you can write in the chat. And I know Zoom is not the most inspiring source, but I will do my very best to try to be inspiring and perhaps remotely entertaining at times, sometimes surely involuntarily. So, and the exercises, I've fought a long and hard battle to get a place where we can actually all be. And this has become the place. So this is Torvaldsens vej 40 in Frederiksberg. And I've shown where we are in week one. It's not the same. It's not even the same address at all times. But in the bottom left, so down here, is actually the schedule of rooms. And I should say that also times are a little special. I'll return to that. For the exercises, for the project, we will be in a place called First Lab, which is at NBI Bleidams, right back here. But we won't all fit there. So we're also going to be in this building. My office is the one up there. That's where I'm sitting right now. And we will also have a few of the experiments over here. And if anybody is in doubt, then Auditorium A is over here. And I should say thank you to all of those who came by and did a measurement of the length of the table. We will have the last session of doing so tomorrow from 10 to noon. And this is at the same time a good place to come if you have questions, problems with packages or other computing problems or things in general. So 10 to 12 tomorrow in here. And regarding times, well, first of all, we have quite a few weeks. This is a long block, so to speak, this time. It wasn't last year, it changes. Now, we have started 8:15, and I will continue to do so for the first probably 3 weeks. But after that, I'll switch and I'll tell you loud and clear when that happens, to starting the morning lectures Monday and Friday at 9:00. But for now, we start 8:15, because we try to go through most of the curriculum, in fact, all of it, before Christmas. This is applied statistics, so it's applying it that is the part I want you to carry away. And then there will be half an hour before we even open the doors to the exercises. Now, management requires 1 hour, and that means that I'm not going to say anything official until 10:45. But we're not going to close the door and tell you not to come. And we will also ourselves have to try to make it there 8:15. I think we'll make it, and one of the TAs, Julia, is already there in place. Tomorrow, lectures the usual 45 minutes. After which we take half an hour, and I won't say anything official until an hour has passed. And Friday, it's the same as Monday. Now, just to be clear, the course can be followed fully online, and it's perfectly all right to do so, just to let everybody know. Content. Well, I had a hard time finding a histogram of data that has been drawn by hand, but finally I found this one. However, I only found it in order to say that the days of doing things by hand are more or less over. We're almost forced to use computers. Either we can do it in our head or by computers. And we do things in Python and with a few packages on top. And the latest edition is SymPy. Symbolic Python, because it has come to my attention that this works really well and is simple, and we'll even have an example of it tomorrow. There's no one forcing anyone to using SymPy, any other packages, or even Python. You may do the course as you see fit, but I think that I will highly, highly, highly recommend Python. Sorry, I'll have to wear a mask for that one. We do things in Jupyter notebooks. You may translate that to normal Python, you could say, instead of notebooks, and we show how, but this is typically how we do things. For data, well, I try to collect any data I see when I see interesting data. Now, if you have data yourself, that's a treasure, and don't hesitate in bringing it to class if you think it's entertaining. Now, I have lots of data to show from my field. I do research in particle physics at CERN, so we're in the hundreds of petabyte data size, and it's a fantastic data sets because it provides billions of measurements. but I've tried my best throughout the course not to use particle data, or at least not a higher fraction than particle physics represents in physics. And then those who don't study physics might ask, ooh, I don't study physics. Can I even follow this course? Yes, this course is not about physics. It's about statistics. We will do two physics experiments to measure the local acceleration here on Earth, and all formulas for that is provided. So don't worry about that. Regarding books, well, here is Barlow, and he's actually a colleague of mine on the Atlas experiment, and he's a quite understated, entertaining British guy. I think he wrote quite a good book, and that is why we use it, and many who have taken previous courses in physics will have come across it. And yeah, I won't say much about that more than saying, well, there are alternatives, and when studying, it's not unhealthy to get a different view on things. And then you might say, well, my budget can't take more books. That's fine. I've linked both electronically on the course webpage. And the two books are Bevington. Bevington is a classic. It's slightly older, but it's a really, really good intuitive introduction. I highly recommend it. If there's something you don't understand, then try rereading it in Bevington. He's quite good. Cohen is another colleague from Atlas, in fact, and also a previous experiment. And he has written a more modern book, I would say. It's also shorter, which means it doesn't explain everything from the basic ground in the best way, but especially producing random numbers and hypothesis testing, Cohen is quite good. The curriculum, well, it's linked to the course webpage. We'll go through, well, most of the book. The first four or five chapters are things that most of you should have seen before. I'll go through a lot of it today. There's a core of the curriculum, which I've tried to boil down and say, well, what are the most important pages? And it's these 80 pages. And they don't just require reading, they require understanding. But I don't think, this limits the size and hence should increase the focus. And it's the rules from these books and the descriptions from these chapters that we'll try to take from being a theoretical concept and taking them to be, something we apply to data and get numbers, quantify things, and results and conclusions out. Before course start, I put out a checklist, and one of the things we do is measure the length of the table. Well, what's there? Read the course information. It's these slides. They're linked as the first thing on the course page. Fill in the questionnaire. It's very nice when you do that because A, then we get to know who you are and where I should sort of direct teaching and details and so on, what I should consider. And secondly, we also ask you for random numbers by your hand. So filling it in provides us with data that we'll analyze in class. Then there's having measured the length of the table in Auditorium A. Well, that's also to have a data set. I'll come back to that. And the last chance of doing so is tomorrow between 10 and 12. And in fact, I might be there 9:45. Somebody asked if it was possible then. Be registered on Absalon, and be able to run Python. That's it. And Absalon is simply because I write out that way. So what is this measuring the length of the table in Auditorium A? Well, that's to get a data set that we will analyze in 2 weeks' time. So that's the point of that. During the course, well, what will we do? The first thing you will encounter to do, which is not just lecture and exercise, is a project. And the project consists of two experiments, and they might look simple, but the more you dig into them, the more things crop up. And we'll do them on Friday the 27th and Monday the 30th in the morning. And the way it's done is that half of class and will be doing the normal lecture and exercise, and the other half will go to the lab and then switch. And then you might ask, how do I know which day I'm in? Well, you should all write Julia with what group you are, and groups should be size 4 to 5 persons. Also write her if you have a group of 2 to 3 persons, simply because then we'll join smaller groups. And then if you can't make it, if some of the members can't make it one of these days, please write that to Julia as well. And then we'll post what the plan is. And if you don't know anybody, and then also write us, because then we know that you haven't forgotten or anything, and we'll join you into groups. And the experiments, I'll return to what they are, but this is your chance to do an experiment and get to play with real data. And real data, I'll tell you, is different than simulated data. It always has all sorts of problems. And that's part of what I want this course to focus on, that you're able to take real data with all its flaws and misconceptions and mismeasurements and whatnot, biases, and turn it into sound statistical results. This will count, you will write one report in your group, and it will count 20% of your final grade. So not a lot, but a little. And the experiments are measuring Earth's gravitation locally here. And it's done with a pendulum, and it's done with a ball rolling down an incline. And well, there's the deadline. And if you can't participate in person, oh yeah, very important, because, well, for some reason I said the course can be done fully online, well, then you will simply be asked to do the simple pendulum. I don't imagine anybody sitting with a place where they can't find a line and something heavy they can fix at the end and a hook and watch it swing and measure the length and the period of it. If you can't do that, then please tell me, but I suspect then you have bigger problems than this course. Problem set. That's the other thing. Now, a problem set has been already posted, and the associated data sets are there, and it's not to be handed in until in the next year, 3rd January. Now, the reason why it's posted now is that it's 2 pages of questions, but it is extensive, and I wanted you to have all the time in the world that the course even allows you. And to begin with, you might say, I don't know how to solve that, but hopefully after some of the sessions, you will say, ha, now I have the solution to that problem in the problem set. And it's not a bad way to just start slowly on saying, well, I recognize that problem, let me try to solve it. It covers, or it counts 20% of your grade. And you're welcome to use, in fact, I encourage you to use all the code that we hand out, also even solutions that we hand out. And I encourage you very much to work in groups. Each person must hand in his or her own solution. And you should state who you collaborate with. So you can write, I worked with Anders and Troels, or I worked with Anders and Troels on problem 2, 3, 4. You just need to state it. And this is where I hope that you will also sit and sort of crunch problems. And I can say that the exam will very much resemble this problem set. So this is also sort of a good exercise. The thing about it is that people say, why don't you give us more problem sets instead of a project? Because that is what resembles the exam. Well, that's because the project is what resembles real life. And I will almost guarantee that you'll meet more problems of the kind in the project than you will on the problem set. So that's why we do it and do a project. The exam is a 36-hour take-home exam. So I posted on Thursday, the 21st of January, 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's due by Friday evening. And this will, of course, count the rest of your grade. And this you should do on your own. And we do, and you're asked to also submit your code. We don't want your code for all the other things, unless you insist, but we don't want it and we're not going to look at it. But for the exam, we also require that you submit all the code that you've been using. And we will run through that extensively. We have tools to do that. And you should do the work on your own. Yeah. And final comments are that, well, my expectations, what are they? I want the course to be useful to you. And if you find that something is not good or can be altered or suggestions or that isn't useful to you, don't hesitate in writing me. And the more detailed you are, the better it is. And then in return, I will try to make statistics as interesting as possible as I can. If you have problems, whatever nature, also don't hesitate to write me. It may not be that I can do something about it, but if I don't know about it, then I certainly can't do anything about them. And I consider myself fairly large, as long as it's met by sincerity. But you have to write me in the first place. That part is your responsibility. And books we've been through, and I just recall a friend of mine who studied law, and he came back and said, there was a professor who says, if you read one book, then you're being introduced to the subject. You have to read several books in order to be studying the subject. And especially, I think Bevington has some good parts to it. So that I recommend. And well, people, many people before me have taught statistics. One very famous one is John Turkey, who was known for, well, quoted for the following on teaching statistics. And he said, well, you need to teach both the usefulness, but also the limitations of statistics. So I'll try to especially include the limitations, because you have to know that there are also limits to what you can do. You can't fix everything with statistics. And one should be, well, careful of taking on the guardian of a proven truth type of approach, because there are quite a few approaches to statistics. And of course, they can't give, wildly disagreeing results. But in fact, they can give different and don't results and don't necessarily need to be wrong. Data analysis is an iterative thing. And you might think, what? You can't analyze your data and then realize that you need to do it in a different way. The answer is, well, yeah, that's actually often how it is. And if you feel that that might bias you, well, you should organize your way of doing analysis so that you put some of the data aside, so you don't look at that you stay blinded. We'll come back to that. And it's funny for him to say back in the 50s and 60s that computing facilities is what drives the field now. And little did he know. And in the end, I've put a top 10 of things simply because, well, if you look at a large course and say, what are the most basic things? Well, here are the 10 most basic things, I think. Some of them may not mean anything to you now, but by the end of the course, if any of these are strange to you, please reread. Yeah, that was the introduction. And any questions at this point? No? And Susanna is also not saying that there has been a wild number of questions. So yeah, if there aren't.
I have one question.
Yeah.
It's a bit unrelated, but does this course make you able to take the next course in statistics, advanced methods?
Yeah, good question, Sven. Yes, it does. I would say that Jason sits 5 meters from me in the office just over here. And I discuss a lot of things with him. And he exactly says, well, I expect people to have taken this course. That's sort of the level he aims at.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm being asked, can you talk? Now I'm reading the chat. Well, face masks during exercises. I can say that during the experiments down in the lab, we are all required to have face masks on. For the exercises, it's not a requirement, but I think for this, we should really do our utmost to keep the distance, stay in the same groups, and wear face masks certainly on the way in, that's required, and don't hold back in doing it during the exercises. I think it's not a bad thing. And as I said, please see if you can find a small group to work with. And when you've found it, stick together. And also, once you've chosen sort of the auditorium that you're in and the TA, I know we're going to shift auditoria, but try to stay with the same group. And an alternative to coming to the exercises in person is actually sitting together, four persons or two, somewhere else, and we will be available on this Zoom channel and others. And I wrote that we also have a Slack channel, which we will post as soon as possible.
Tools, how many rooms are there in the exercises?
There are three. That was on the slides of the exercises. You can also see the number and the size there. Moving on. And that doesn't mean that you can't ask other questions or regarding the course again. But before we actually go to statistics, I want to motivate statistics a little bit. Now, why statistics? And the first question is actually, to a certain extent, why uncertainties? Why would we even care about uncertainties? And the thing is that theory is not deterministic. There are many reasons why theory isn't. And well, when we measure things, we have random measurement errors. And, we can't help having that. And even if we could, typically that would be super expensive. So, we have limitations from this and that. And so we can only quantify our uncertainties using probabilities. And that is why uncertainties play an enormous role. And let me just give you an example. Here is a measurement of the speed of gravity. Let's say you measured the speed of gravity, not the speed of light, the speed of gravity. You would expect it to be speed of light, but you get this result. And then you show it to people. And what would that tell you? The answer is, it would essentially tell you nothing, because you have no idea of the uncertainty. That number gives you very little. And I'll show why with three results. Here are three example results. It's all the same number, but the uncertainties differ wildly. It could be that your uncertainty was so big that the number could be anything, even negative. That just means that you haven't measured anything. It could also be that it's consistent with the speed of light and not much else. And that would show that probably general relativity is correct in predicting that gravity should expand at the same rate as speed of light. Or it might be that you measured that number with a much smaller uncertainty. Now it's inconsistent with the speed of light. Something out there hesitates gravity in expanding or having an influence at the speed of light. That would be a new discovery. And probably if you discovered this, you'd be going straight to Stockholm for a fancy party with the royals. So the extreme conclusion is that numbers without uncertainties are meaningless. That's probably overstating it, but certainly, you need uncertainties. Why precision then? Well, that's because that's how we test things, also in reality, not just physics. So take, for example, Newton's law of gravity. How well do we know that? And it turns out that we can ask many questions regarding this. And I'm not going to dive into any physics things, but just say that, the answers aren't that straightforward. And there are highly competitive groups at universities we'd like to compare ourselves with doing experiments in order to actually test gravity at small scales, and this has profound impact on theory. So the precision of it is very important. So that's why you will be asked to do or try precision measurement of the gravity here locally. And then why statistics? Well, when we do measurements, or we only have, well, that's a sample of reality. Or we ask 10 people, or we measure the height of 10 people and want to talk about the average. So there are uncertainties to that, and there are theoretical approximations. And that forces us into having uncertainties and speak in probabilities. And an example from my own field is this one, but it's generally one of the things we'll dive into. It's about hypothesis testing, quantifying the answer, which theory matches the data best. And this doesn't pertain to physics or science at all. I mean, people will come with a theory for the traffic entering Copenhagen, and you know, I have one model, you have another, which one matches the data best? In this case, and very generally, you might say, oh, this looks technical. Well, there's theory red and theory blue. And then we calculate a number Q, which according to theory blue should distribute itself like this, and according to theory red should distribute itself like that. And when we've done that, we look at the real data, and we ask, what was the value of Q? In this case, it's for the Higgs. The value was the black line. And that's very consistent with theory blue, and it's not very consistent with theory red. And that is, well, in all essence, hypothesis testing. Especially when asking people something, you get biases. And you might even think about it. So people have tried to ask, pick a color, red or blue, or pick a color, blue or red. And in fact, just changing the two it changes the rate at which people answer one or the other. And I might already hesitantly ask, well, what's the uncertainty on these numbers? But let's just assume that, well, they've asked a lot of people. You might also, and this is really interesting, you might give people irrelevant information or relevant. For example, knowing that the population of the United States is 270 million, what is the population of Canada? And then you ask the same question, but now you compare to Australia with 15 million. These are slightly old numbers. But I wanted to show you the distribution of the answers. People typically say 200 million for Canada, or at least 100 million for Canada, if you ask them the first question, whereas they'll say something around 30 or 25 if you ask the second question. And here's the real value. So you can really mislead people. And that's why people, among them, Mark Twain, have said that there are three kinds of lies. There are lies, damned lies, and statistics. Whereas in my opinion, it's the contrary, but you have to do it correctly. The only way to convey accurate information is by statistics. And well, a while ago, Wall Street Journal had sort of a posting of the income people who are very good at data analysis, well, they got good salaries. Things also go up and down. And well, from physics being a study which doesn't really earn you a salary, it was said 50 years ago. Nowadays, the answer is the opposite. And this is from Hal Varian of Google and Berkeley. I keep saying that the sexy job in the next 10 years will be statisticians. Interestingly, 10 years have passed and he's been mostly correct. I think the fun question is, what about the next 10 years? And this is probably where machine learning enters, but statistics doesn't leave. You need to know statistics in order to be able to analyze the results you get from machine learning. Machine learning is just a sharpening of, in fact, the hypothesis testing and a few things more. At the end of the course, I will hope to whet your appetite for machine learning, but this is not a course on machine learning. All right. And with that, any questions or comments on that? No? Well, then I'll go to the chat and see. Is there a plan of which TAs are in which rooms? No, well, there is the plan that when we get there, we will pick that. And there is one TA per room, and they will stick with the same room. And then we will have one or two TAs on online, and I will be around. That I will certainly be there. And yeah, that's how we run it. All right. Did that trigger any questions? If not, then I propose that we just take 5 minutes of stretching our legs, or in fact, 8 minutes. Zoom is a tiring thing, and I know that people will stop listening and so on if we don't take breaks. So certainly we will do that. And yeah, let's resume at 9 o'clock again. Yep. Yeah.